The following contains explicit language and adult content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Sober Sense Podcast, making sense of sobriety by sharing our experience, motivation, and insight. Whether you're active in recovery, sober curious, or just looking for some personal growth content, you've come to the right place. So let's get to it with your hosts, Todd, Brent, and Jonathan.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the Sober Sense Podcast. This episode is presented commercial-free by the Rule 62 Foundation, a nonprofit empowering people to live happy, healthy, and fulfilling lives in addiction recovery through life-building programs and sober social events. If you're struggling with addiction, know someone who is, or want to make a donation, visit r62foundation.org for details. That's r62foundation.org.
Hell yeah. Welcome back.
It is raining outside.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
Finally got some weather. Driving over here is not fun, though. People in Southern California do not know how to drive in the rain.
Oh, yeah.
Myself included.
Me too. Yeah. I hate driving. Yeah. I'm like a totally, completely different driver in the rain. I drive like such a old lady in the rain.
Good.
Because I'm scared to death of, you know, I've hydroplaned a few times before, and so I'm constantly in fear of that.
Good, because you're a fucking maniac when you drive during the daytime.
I've been getting better, I think.
Says who?
Anyways, so
But speaking of driving, over the weekend I had a bachelor party with my buddies, and one of the activities that, so it was like a shut up and get in type situation where they just said, pack a bag and get in the car when we get there. Don't ask questions. And so they had, you know, activities planned, and they're all normies. And so they know they're going to plan a sober bachelor party for me. And what's cool about it is it forces us to think of activities to do, like to think outside the box instead of just the Vegas trip, the go to the bars,
Top
go to
golf
strip
and
clubs, whatever. Because those are so easy. It's so easy to plan when alcohol is involved, because whatever you do, it can revolve around that. And,
it usually does.
Correct. Yeah. And so the first activity that they had was they took me to the Porsche experience. In LA at that Porsche test track. And so we got behind the wheel of 911S. Each of us had one, and we had the staff member who was sitting co-pilot and walking us through how to drive it. And we got to go on the straightaways. We got to learn how to try to hydroplane, correct ourselves. We got to go on the...
Did you do some hot laps?
What's that?
Where you have a track and just do... Okay, yes. Who had the best time?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. We didn't get that detailed. Oh, I wish we did, though. That would have been good, because we're all pretty competitive. And I was laughing at myself because of what you said. On the straightaway, I got up to like 120, 122. And dude, that was fast. That 120, 122 is fast. And I think especially because, you know,
I was doing that on the way home from work today.
That's what I was laughing about when you said, yeah, I was doing that on the road today. And it kind of diminished the excitement a little bit. But the reality is I'm going to give myself this grace, because the runway was relatively short. Like that was really as fast as it could go in the amount of space
right.
You know what I mean? Like if I could have kept going and kept pinning it, we would have got faster, but that's all I could have done. But I was stressed, dude. It's exhausting. Driving like that is, I don't know how you do it.
It's more mental than physical, really, for me.
Yes.
And is exhausting. It really is.
I think you're right. Between the adrenaline and the mental exhaustion.
Then the adrenaline dump afterwards. Yeah. That's real, man.
Yeah. Yeah. But so that was kick-ass. Awesome time. After that, my buddies got the helicopter ride over to Catalina.
Nice.
So we all piled in a helicopter, flew over to Catalina, spent the night over there.
Sober.
Yeah. Yep.
That's pretty cool.
And it was like jam packed where we had the golf cart. We rode around on the electric bikes. We did the aerial adventure over there. Well, I went out to dinner, walked around and then just spent some time hanging out at the hotel, playing cards, shooting the shit. Dude, it was, nice. It was awesome.
Now, did any of them drink?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any of them like us?
No comment.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
So when we were on our way over there, when we were driving, the first thing that I said on the car ride up was, guys, don't let me stop you from having a good time. Uh-huh. Like if you want to have a beer, if you want to have a glass of wine, totally fucking go for it. Because at this point in my recovery, I'm more uncomfortable when people are changing their life and changing Correct. Their shit Correct. Around for me than I am if they're having a drink or two.
Yeah, and I could see it at the beginning of sobriety. It's like, my parents said, oh, don't drink around,
Right.
And
which I appreciate.
Exactly.
Totally.
But, that first year, yeah, I think that was probably super helpful and thoughtful at the same time. But after that, it's like you said, I'm uncomfortable if you're not drinking. Because I know that, you usually have a drink, glass of wine with dinner and you're not, so I'm sure you're thinking about that.
Right.
Whereas I'd rather, feel comfortable, I'll let you drink. And that way I don't feel uncomfortable that you're not drinking.
Right. I don't want it to be because of me.
Right.
So like my poor life choices should not be influencing your life choices. But it was fucking cool, dude. Like to spend time with my friends. Obviously my first bachelor party and it did not disappoint.
Nice.
It was so much fun. And how blessed am I that this technically was my second one because me, you and the guys, the Monday guys went out to
Area 51
and went camping. And what a blessing it is to have such a large network, such a large social group that I get two bachelor parties, both totally different and both equally fucking awesome. I never would have been managed. I never would have had that experience 7+ years ago.
Yeah,
agreed. If I was deep in drinking, that would have been such a disaster.
Well,
either trip.
Well, A, you wouldn't be getting married, probably. Okay.
You are so absolutely right. I would
at least not to Danny.
Absolutely not to Danny. You're right. And whatever situation I would have been in if marriage was the case, it would have been so incredibly toxic.
Toxic. Oh yeah.
Yeah. But so carrying on with the topic of special occasions, drinking, not drinking, we got the holidays coming up.
Yeah, tough time for us, And it's funny, you see the room swell after the first of the year.
Yeah.
Always, I've been doing it this will be my 16th, New Year's. And usually, mid-January, beginning of February, the room swell. All these new people. I'm getting so, and it's because they burnt their life down over the holiday and there's so many I've talked to that say, I was drunk from Thanksgiving to New Year's, and now I'm here. And it's so true because, alcohol is so prevalent and not only prevalent, but celebrated, you're supposed to be drinking, you're supposed to have a cocktail and cocktail parties and the, rum and the eggnog or whatever, so it is a hard time for us. No question about it.
I would have to imagine a large portion of those people are court ordered, having gotten a DUI or something.
Yeah.
So and that's why we see the room swell and then it dips back down as
Correct.
Time goes on.
Exactly. Then you'll see the same people there next year.
Cause people eventually go, I got it.
You'll see
bad.
A good swell right before the holidays, people,
right.
Getting ready for it.
Trying to get
it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Trying to brush up on what they've been neglecting for the past
year. Exactly. Because they know that the parties are coming. And, what do you do?
Right.
What do we as alcoholics, drug addicts, what do we do? Because it's not just all the alcohol that's flowing and celebrated in celebration, But it's the stressful time of year too, you know. It's game on, it's gifts and family, and you know, so we're under a lot of stress at this time, on top of the availability of the alcohol at all these parties. So it's like, what the fuck are you supposed to do?
And I think something that influenced me a lot, or impacted me a lot when I was in early recovery, were all the memories then that started to flood back. So we've got, got the alcohol present, right? And that's a challenge. You've got the stress of just the hustle and bustle of the holidays, which is a challenge. And then I then, because I got sober in September, late September. And so I was, you know, 3 months in coming, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so I was starting to get into my step work. I was in, you know, almost nearing the end of IOP. And so I was really embarking on that journey of introspection and self-analysis. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And so I was hyper aware of myself and what I had done, who I had been in the past. And so the holidays then, looking back on just my track record of burning shit to the ground, and holidays being tough, even though at the time I didn't know it or didn't see it, but looking back and all the triggers that exist out there. And so, as you were saying, what the fuck did we do? And that's what I'd like to chat with you about tonight. When I first got into recovery, my first year, my strategy was stay away as much as possible. That was me. I just basically committed to the first year of accepting the fact that I'm going to miss out on some shit.
Okay.
And so my immediate family, I didn't go to Thanksgiving. Instead, I volunteered at Charlie Street. And on Thanksgiving. And that is a tradition that I've kept up. So this will be the seventh year. I'm going to do something different. I'm not going to do Charlie Street this year, but taking the day on Thanksgiving for myself to go volunteer somewhere and be of service. That's what I've done with Thanksgiving, and then do like a Friendsgiving or go over to Danny's parents' house or something like that. Christmas, I, you know, went with my family, but stayed just a couple hours, opened gifts, did food, did all that, and then bounced. New Year's Eve, just looked for the nearest sober situation, the nearest sober event, and just clung to that.
But, well, we've been doing the New Year's party since you've got sober.
But outside of that, outside of those key things, I just, you know, oh, we're having a holiday party or work is having this. I just, thanks, but no thanks. That first year, I was a thanks, but no thanks guy. Because I couldn't risk it. I didn't want to do it.
Well, it's funny. I was doing Thanksgiving here for 15 years. So I did 15 Thanksgivings here, and I'd announce it at the meetings, and I'd always say, you know, if you're from out of town and you don't have anywhere to go, or, you know, you don't have family in town, or if you're one like me whose family doesn't want you there, you know, I always says, you know, come on over. And we always had a Thanksgiving here. So now that I've, you know, since the getting married and stuff, we've kind of switched gears because I have another family that needs attention. Jonathan's going to start picking that up.
That's
so
awesome.
He picked up that commitment. So I'm super stoked on that, man. Super stoked that it's not going to die down. You know?
That was, you're right. On Thanksgiving, I would come over and do that. And you had me carve the turkey.
Yeah.
That was the first time in my life I've ever carved a turkey. And things like that are pieces of value that I'm not sure you fully understand. Those little gestures, those little things are a big fucking deal.
Mom standing over you. Cutting that right. I loved it, man. I thought you were going to stab her in the eye.
Unbelievable. Like the one thing I didn't want was someone fucking hovering over me telling me what to
and
do.
And she was.
Unbelievable. But so I started thinking about, you know, because my first year, I basically just stayed away. And then when I started to ease in, I needed to start developing skills, because I'm not just going to abstain from life altogether. I want to reintegrate myself back into society. I want to be able to spend time with friends and family. And so I started to jot down some you know, tips or ideas or memories that I had of things that worked for me. And I was struggling, I'll admit, I was struggling a little bit and kind of waited till the last minute to really like flesh out a good list of good tips. So I ended up asking ChatGPT.
Okay.
And just like looked at AI and said, what do I do? No, like what are some tips for staying sober during the holidays? And ended up getting a list. And it's a pretty good list.
Really?
Yeah. And so that's why I wanted to walk through.
Okay.
And we'll go through what ChatGPT says.
I like it. Yeah. I like it.
And then
see if he's one of us or not.
Right.
You know?
Right. So the first one was plan ahead. Have a clear plan for each holiday event. Decide in advance how long you'll stay, who you'll go with, and have an exit strategy if you feel uncomfortable.
Exit strategy is critical.
Yeah.
Exit strategy is always critical. Like, don't be beholden to somebody else's car or transportation.
Right.
Be self-reliant on your transportation to and from. That gives you the freedom to bounce when you're ready to bounce. And the exit plan is absolutely, without a doubt, super critical.
Having a plan was one of the biggest things that enabled me or allowed me to feel comfortable at social events when I was in early recovery, because my go-to situation was I would show up, I would get there early. Now with the, with like calling ahead and making sure, especially if I know the host, get there early and leave early. So I would call and say, hey, can I get there early and help you set up? Is there anything I can do to, you know, help? And if they say, no, we're good, I at least would show up on time.
Okay.
If they said get there early, cause on time is still early.
Correct.
Right. Like people aren't going to be there. It's not going to ramp up. And then once shit gets dialed up, once things are ramping up and starting to really get into swing, then I go find the host. Hey, thank you so much for having me. And I dip. And it's hard. It's hard to do that. It's really hard because you feel guilty. Oh man, you know, I don't want to be leaving early. Is it disrespectful? But like we always say, at the end of the day,
nobody cares.
Nobody gives a fuck.
Nobody fucking cares.
And so the fact that
they're just glad you were there.
Right.
You know, and it really is just making an appearance.
Making an appearance, getting there either early or on time allows then quality time with the people who are there.
Before the whole crew's there.
Before it gets crazy.
Yes.
So that plan, the show up early or right on time, ask if you can help. Set up and then have an exit plan. Do not be attached to any driver, because then you're going to, you know, find yourself in a situation where you want to leave but can't. I mean, Uber, like whatever.
Uber if you have to.
Yeah.
You know, Uber if you have to.
Number two, attend sober events. Seek out sober or alcohol-free events. Many communities organize gatherings specifically for individuals in recovery during the holidays.
I understand that there is going to be one down at the Dunes.
For
New Year's Eve.
I understand that as well. New Year's Eve, Rule 62 Foundation is hosting a masquerade bash. It's actually going to be an all-day event down at Newport Dunes Waterfront and Resort Pavilion A. We're going to be down there from noon until 1 a.m. During the day, we're partnering with the Phoenix and Taste Recovery. We're going to be hosting games and activities, barbecue up some burgers and hot dogs. Then once the sun sets, we're going to shift gears to a masquerade ball where we're going to have photo booth
and
activities.
Good food comes out, baby.
That's when the bomb food comes out. So go to our website, r62foundation.org, click on the events tab. There you'll find more information and you'll be able to get tickets. Entry, anytime entry is $5. Entry plus all you can eat food is $15. You can get tickets on the website. If you can't afford it and you want to come, hit us up. Send an email, because we'll work with you. The money's just going to go to help recoup the cost. It's a donation, essentially. So if you can't afford it, but you want to come, hit us up, because this is one of those sober events, and there are others.
And we're around our people, and it's just that much more enjoyable to be partying with our people. And we party hard, man.
You know, you say that, and I remember when I first got into this group, and I'd hear you say that, and I just kind of roll my eyes. But we do.
Oh, yeah.
We do. You do. Like, you make sure that that happens. I was rewatching some videos from Lake Powell and the fireworks.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, bro, that shit goes off. When you say we party hard, and then watching the bonfire rage, seeing people just pin it on a jet ski. So granted, obviously this isn't going to be like Powell, but we go all in.
Rage.
We go all in on the things we do. We do not
I'll pull a fucking all-nighter if you want.
we're gonna.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to. We're hosting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so go to the website, r62foundation.org. Click on the events tab. You'll see more information. Tickets you can get there as well. We definitely hope to see you. We want to pack that house. We're that pavilion. We want to pack the pavilion.
Yeah.
So tell your friends, bring your friends. It's going to be a great time. ChatGPT number three, bring support. Attend events with a friend, family member, or a sober companion who understands your commitment to sobriety and can provide support.
Always a good idea, and not just during for things like this, but any type of event. Like if you're going to go to the football game or the some sort of event, you know, it's always smart to have a sober buddy. You know, always helps, and plus it makes it that much more enjoyable too because you're with your people. You know,
and I think also if you're fortunate enough, you know, like me, to have a group of normie friends who are fully supportive of your decision to be sober, they look out for me as well. Like they don't make a big deal about having a bachelor party weekend that is not centered around alcohol. They pick restaurants and they pick activities that are, you know, within my wheelhouse, and especially when it's something that's specifically for me. But whenever we go somewhere, they're mindful of my life and where I've been and where I'm trying to go. And so it doesn't only have to be someone in recovery. Like you can find people who are normies, who are advocates and supporters. And maybe it's a family member who totally gets it and is there and has your back. I've got someone who is within my professional network, and we occasionally meet, you know, like go on the same work trips, and he's super supportive and will say, you know, being mindful of it and, you know, supporting me along the way at cocktail parties or, you know, networking events and stuff like that. And so having that support system. But I think that comes with being open and honest about your recovery, though.
Not only that, though, when you have somebody with you, it brings accountability to the table.
Because
if you're out somewhere and people don't know you, nobody's going to give one rat's ass if you have a drink or not, or know or care.
It's actually a really good point. I hadn't thought
but,
about that.
But, you know, when you have somebody with you, you're accountable. You know, it's like, you know, can't fuck up. You know, he's watching, you know.
Yeah. Number four, have an answer ready. Prepare responses if someone offers you a drink. You can politely decline by saying you're not drinking at the moment or you have a non-alcoholic drink in hand to avoid questions.
That's what always worked for me.
The drink in hand?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of fucked up that we have to do that.
Yeah.
Because, well, and who is it?
If you look at me, everywhere I'm at, I got a bottle of vitamin water.
Well, that's because it's healthy and you need your vitamins, right?
It does not fucking vitamins, remember.
Yeah.
No, it's just because I was always used to having a cocktail in my hand, always, you know? So now, you know, my vitamin, you know, that water bottle is my cocktail. You know, I even tell my wife, hey man, get me my cocktail. You know, just kidding around, but that's my cocktail.
I had a moment at a party when I was probably like a year and a half, 2 years sober, and it just organically happened, and it ended up being my go-to response anytime I was in a situation and someone offered me a drink. I was at a party down in San Diego with some friends. Actually, it was hosted by one of the guys who was at my bachelor party. And people there who were just being polite, oh, can I get you a beer? Can I get you some wine? No, thanks. Oh, can I get you a beer? Can I get you some wine? Oh, no, thanks. And then eventually, I like the third or fourth time, I just said, I'm not drinking tonight. And they went, oh, okay. Can I get you a soda or a water? And it shifted it. I then was able to accept the soda or water, which then let them feel like a good host, because that's all it was.
Right.
They were just trying to be a good host. Yep, yep. And so that statement of I'm not drinking tonight. And
nobody fucking cares.
Nobody cares. But also that's the reality of my situation is one day at a time,
right?
One night at a time.
Yep, yep.
When, you know, when people go, oh, well, how deep do I get into it? Because that's where I got all up in my own head about how far do I have to explain to people? Oh, I don't drink. You know, here's what happened. Uh-huh. And I future trip on how's this going to go? How much detail should I give? You know, I got to like explain myself, all of that. But the reality is, my truth is that I'm one day at a time. Tonight, I'm not drinking tonight. And that's really all I can do.
Yep.
And that's a good reminder for me as an individual that, hey, buddy,
one day at
slow your shit down. Yep. If I'm gonna sit there and tell someone, oh, I don't drink, or I'm not going to drink ever, you know, that's my life now. No, fuck that. I have no idea. I'm not drinking tonight. So if you're out there, you're looking for a response, something that has worked brilliantly for me, I'm not drinking tonight. Let them offer whatever they do, and then you could take or leave that. Create boundaries. Be assertive about your decision to stay sober. You have the right to set boundaries with friends and family about your choice. That one seems a bit argumentative.
Yes, and I don't think that people are forcing drinks in our hand.
I will say, though, with the be assertive about your decision, I could see people who are like, it's not that big a deal. Just have one. Like, you can do that, right?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Hear that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Nice. So if you're in a situation where there's a pushy uncle or a nosy aunt who isn't fully in on this and just, you could just have one, right? Yeah. Like, and they might mean well, and not saying that.
But it goes back to what you just said, not tonight.
Right.
You know, not tonight, maybe tomorrow, not tonight.
I guess what happens, though, if someone keeps leaning in?
You punch him in the fucking throat. You know, I mean, but, serious.
But that's creating boundaries.
Yeah, be there's assertive. My boundary.
When it says be assertive about your decisions to stay sober, if it comes down to it, throat punch somebody. Punch him right in the...
If you have to.
Punch him right in the windpipe.
If you're willing to go to any length.
You punch him in the windpipe and watch. They won't be able to say that anymore because they will be struggling to breathe. Another one. Focus on activities. Engage in activities that don't involve alcohol, such as games, sports, volunteering, or crafting. This can shift the focus away from drinking.
Correct. Clean the kitchen. Do dishes.
I am huge on the activities thing. Yeah. It just not only with the drinking, but just social anxiety in general. If I can have an activity, if I can have something that I'm doing that has me engaged, I'm going to be a much better guest. I'm going to have a lot more fun myself. And so, yes, to your point, go clean up the kitchen, go help out around, see what you can do.
That's been a real good go-to for me, is just clean, walk up kitchen, and start doing dishes, you know, start cleaning the kitchen. You know, nobody wants to come in there and be chatting up because they don't want to start fucking cleaning, right. You know? So kind of, you're in your own little, but I was in, at least my family, I'm in my fucking bubble and be able to just kind of clean up.
What was funny was previously I used to wait until the last dish was done and then walk in and be like, oh, can I help do dishes, you know, knowing that it's like, but I still want credit for offering. Right. I want credit for offering. I know that it's done. I know you're gonna say no, I don't need help, but hey, I feel good about myself for offering. Practice self-care. Manage stress by practicing self-care techniques like meditation, exercise, deep breathing, or journaling. Taking care of your mental health is crucial during the holidays. Ain't that the truth?
It's crucial year round, you know, but again, especially during the holidays, you know, because our sobriety is contingent on our spiritual conditioning. And part of our spiritual conditioning is just what that said, you know, the meditation, prayer for me. Our spiritual conditioning is so critical, but we don't get that for that first year. You know, that spiritual conditioning takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. And, you know, so somebody in their first year is, you know, that's where, like you were saying, just in and out, quick, you know, plan it out as opposed to wallowing in it and being, you know, sucked into the drama of the holidays by others.
Well, and I think a lot of this and the context in which we're discussing it and the list itself are focused on singular events, where it's focused on how do you handle a party? How do you handle a gathering? That's kind of what all of this has been about. But to your point, it's the holidays in general, even time to yourself, even Monday through Friday, that can be a tough time. Just the holidays in general, from Thanksgiving through New Year's, it's just a tough time.
Yeah.
And so that mental health, that emotional well-being, be it meditation, journaling, whatever you've got to do, to be mindful that this is a sustained effort that it's going to take. It's not just, hey, gut it out and then everything's going to be fine. You've got to be mindful of the influence and the impact that's ongoing.
Yep, yep, I agree.
Find support. Attend support group meetings or connect with a sponsor or a counselor regularly for added support and guidance during the holiday season. Call your sponsor. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah, I know what he's going to say. Fuck that. You know?
That's so funny. There's so many times where I'm going to pick up the phone because something happens. I'm in a funk or just having a tough time or a life event happens. And I'm going to pick up the phone because I'm just spinning my own wheels or I'm in my own head. And before I do that, I think, what is Todd going to say? And I hear your voice in my head telling me what you're going to tell me. And then what's my response going to be? And if it's not something good, then I don't, then I hang up. I don't call because over the years I understand and know what I need to do. Uh-huh. I know what I need to
do. But sometimes we need to hear what we need to do.
Yeah.
You know, we need that nudge that, you know, like, I know, but I still need that nudge. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, and we've talked about this before. Sometimes it's not so much what's happening or what you're doing. It's just as much what you're not doing.
Correct.
And when shit goes sideways for me or when life gets bumpy for me, I often look and see, what am I not doing? Not praying, not meditating, not being of service as much. There are things that I'm not doing that could be resulting in the bumpiness and the going sideways. And so I think it's easy to look around and think like, what changed? You know, what outside force is causing this?
Right.
What is happening in my life now all of a sudden that I don't have control of that's causing me to feel this way or life to go this way? A lot of times I can look inward and say, you know what? It actually is me because I'm not doing the things that I know work.
Exactly. Or you got out of your routine somehow, be it meditation, prayer, service, meetings, whatever. But you get out of that routine and that flow of things and other things start to get affected. It's that domino effect. And, you know, we pull one out and it's knocking the other ones down, but we don't realize it until the 10th or 11th one has gone down.
Avoid triggers. Identify and avoid situations or people that may trigger cravings. If certain environments make you uncomfortable or tempted, it's okay to opt out. Yeah. Yeah, avoid triggers.
Yeah.
That's pretty clear.
It's pretty simple. Yeah.
That's pretty simple. But not always easy. And that is essentially what I had said at the very beginning, what my first year was. My first year was avoid triggers at all costs. And because now it was really difficult at the time because then in my head I'm romanticizing all the things that I'm missing out on. You know, I'm picturing people are going to be pissed off at me because I didn't go to this thing or, you know, I missed the birthday party or I missed the whatever. And in looking back, that 1 year of abstaining from major social events didn't do shit.
Like they're still talking about it today. You know?
And all my friends are still my friends.
Right.
And anybody who got pissed off enough to where it was a problem probably wasn't my friend to begin with.
Yeah.
And so that the avoid triggers, as difficult as it is sometimes the necessary solution because you don't pick up no matter what. And if it takes that, then that's what it takes.
Yeah.
Last one, celebrate sobriety. Celebrate your sobriety milestones and accomplishments during the holidays. Reflect on how far you've come and reward yourself for your dedication and hard work.
Yeah, whether it's your first Christmas and New Year's without alcohol or your 20th, you know. What's really cool now being sober, this will be my 16th one being sober, is I remember them. You know, I don't remember all, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
I have, you know, clarity of them and celebrate that, you know, this is my, you know, this is my fucking 16th one. So, you know, that's fucking badass, you know, but if it's your first, man, fucking live it up. This is my first year sober. This first time I've done this in 5 years or 10 years or 30 years, you know, that's a big fucking deal.
It's interesting also now thinking back, just this discussion has me thinking back, when you and I can sit here and look at someone who's 30 days, 60 days, 90 days sober, and it's their first sober Christmas, and we're like, fuck yeah, dude, like, you're killing it. Keep it going. You should be super proud of yourself. But in that moment, when I was 30, 60, 90 days sober, I was like, I'm a fucking piece of shit too. Like I'm a piece of shit. I remember at my first, at my 1 year, my parents actually had like a dinner for me to celebrate, and they invited me down, and my sister was there. Everyone's all proud of me. Like it was really cool. But I remember sitting there in certain moments going, this is what my life has come to, that it's dinner worthy. It's fucking the fact that
we're partying that you're not partying anymore.
Yes. Like what a fucking piece of shit I had become. That I had those moments. And so I think the whole celebrate sobriety thing is a good tip. That is good. And
I agree.
To your point, feel good about it. Feel stoked about it. Because
be proud of yourself.
Be proud of yourself.
You know, that, you know, the one thing that I didn't have when I got here and I have now is that self-esteem. And the way I got the self-esteem was doing esteemable things. And an esteemable thing is keeping a word to yourself, you know. And to find over time, keeping my word to myself, I'm not going to drink at Christmas. I'm not going to, you know, do blow on New Year's, you know, keeping my word to myself became more and more powerful and built that self-esteem. And, you know, not partying like we used to do is an esteemable act.
And that builds in value and builds in strength over time. Because when you have that one experience like, you see yourself, I can do this.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Like, as hard as that was, I could do this. And then knowing how good you feel the next day.
Oh, yeah. Like waking up January 1st, you know, not hungover.
Feel like a fucking boss.
First clear head, man. You're like, holy shit. I fucking did this, man. So I got a couple things then.
Okay, good. Because that was the last one.
Okay. So first, number one. Don't pick up no matter fucking what, period.
That's a good one.
That's simple. Number two for me was 90% of my problems disappeared when I shut the fuck up, you know? So I found during these holidays and the family and that shut the fuck up is the best advice I had ever got in my life to this day is to just shut the fuck up. And 90% of my problems disappeared.
I can't tell you how many times that advice, because you gave me that advice really early on. I can't tell you how many times that shit has saved me in my personal life, in my professional life. There's so many fucking times where I hear your voice saying, Brent, just shut the fuck up. And then a week later, I look back and go, God damn, I am so glad that I shut the fuck up in that moment.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is so easy to pop off. And when you think about how many families fight and argue and shit goes sideways during Christmas or Thanksgiving or just the holidays, and how much of that was totally avoidable and over
shutting the fuck up. What's funny is, you know, in my early sobriety, it's like, you know, I became, you know, I was judgmental on those getting all fucked up, you know, that like the person I used to be, I'm looking at sober and I'm being all judgmental, you know,
what a piece of shit.
Do you have to drink like
unbelievable.
That? Look at yourself, you know? And if I would have just shut the fuck up, you know, and let them find out on their own or what, even in, you know, all of the drama and the issue, they're drinking or they're, you know, feeling brave, you know, not drunk, but just, you know, feeling brave or whatever, you know, and they're talking shit and not engaging, you know, was such a huge change in life for me, you know, being able to just say, okay, all right, you know, and just watch and then let them come to their own implosion, mm-hmm. so to speak. But yeah, definitely shut the fuck up. It's still number one. Besides, don't pick up no matter fucking what.
And those both are good life advice. Expanding beyond, you're talking about the holidays. But after January 1 and on, don't pick up no matter what and shut the fuck up. Those are year. That's year round goals.
Yeah, it's, like it's, that is. Just, I'll tell honestly, change. It's changed those two things. Changed my life, man.
Yeah,
you know. But with that, you know. Okay. But another thing for me, and I can only speak for myself. I don't know what's going to work for somebody else.
Right.
They have no idea. You know, all I could say is what worked for me. And the prayer and meditation, man, was huge, is huge in my life. You know, being able to have a power greater than myself to turn all this shit off, over to, you know, God, fuck, what the fuck, man? And that's how I talk to God of my understanding. Like, what the fuck, man? What's going on? What do you want? You know? And
What do you want from me? But sometimes it be like that, you know, sometimes
I'm feeling that way, you know, when the pressure's on, but you know, after I say it though, I feel that relief, like, fuck, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to be okay. As long as I don't pick up, I'm going to be okay. And I have been now for quite a long time and plan on staying that way because it's so much simpler. Life for me has turned, I don't have to worry about shit. I don't have to micromanage shit. I don't have to know everything, you know. Now it's like the older I get, the less I know, honestly, you know. And that comes back to shutting the fuck up because I used to know everything and tell you how I knew everything, you know. And to have that change and be able to learn how much I really just don't know. And that's about it for me.
Yeah. Same here. I mean, what's great is I'm fucking stoked for the holidays because I enjoy myself. Like I don't have that anxiety around I'm totally going to embarrass myself because how many times did that happen? Holy shit. How many times did I just totally fucking embarrass myself? I'm sure embarrass my family because you got everyone there, people coming from out of town. Like it got out of hand very quickly and very often.
For me, all the time,
yeah.
You know, it was like a running joke, you know, what I'd be dragging in on Christmas Day with my vodka, you know, and it was just, I cringe when I look back, but I don't, you know, I don't regret any of it, you know, because all of that shit, all the fucking garbage, all of that I went through, that I created, it made me the man I am today. And I fucking love the man I am today. I fucking love who I've become and continue to be.
That's a tough pill to swallow or a tough reality to accept that who you were made you who you are. Because it is fucking tough to look back with understanding and compassion on that former self.
Well, that's where, you know, having a God of my understanding really comes in because those experiences are unique, and that makes me uniquely qualified to help another human being that's either going through it, has gone through it, and show them the other side, you know, because I could relate to that feeling. You know, people could tell you shit, and you're like, oh, yeah, God, that must have sucked, and oh, fuck, yeah. But when you've gone through it, you know how it felt, you know. I was talking to a person who was didn't think he was alcoholic. And I was explaining, you know, that refrigerator that was on my chest. And then as soon as I drank, you know, it was like, oh, that first drink was like, oh, and he connected. He was like, oh, fuck, you know what that feels like. And I know exactly what it feels like, you know, just by the same token, I know what fucking, you know, gunpowder and steel tastes like. So it uniquely qualifies us to help somebody else, all of those experiences. So, you know, I'm ashamed a lot, I'm disgusted, you know, but they had to happen to make me who I am today. And you're right. It's hard to swallow sometimes, but you just do it.
Yeah. That's good. That's good stuff. With that, you got anything else? I know there's one thing left.
Go out there and be God's bitch today.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of the Sober Sense Podcast. This episode is presented commercial-free by the Rule 62 Foundation, a nonprofit empowering people to live happy, healthy, and fulfilling lives in addiction recovery through life-building programs and sober social events. If you're struggling with addiction, know someone who is, or want to make a donation, visit r62foundation.org for details. That's r62foundation.org.